Vernon.
And I'm Kevin Baldwin, and we are Baldwin and Vernon. Now, Eric, a lot of times people, by the time they call us, they know they need a lawyer then. But sometimes they have that inkling before of I think I might need a lawyer. And so I think what we need to talk today about, what kind of tools and tips we should give folks if they're thinking about that.
Right, how to think like a lawyer. If you think you're being treated wrong at work.
Or if you think you have a criminal charge potentially.
Right. What should you do? What if you were a lawyer, what would a lawyer in your position do?
Well, I'll tell you right now, in an employment law setting, if you have a civil case or an employment law issue, something going on at work, and you know you're being treated differently or things just aren't right, that's when you need to start documenting. And that is when you keep notes of what's going on, put it in a day planner or something away from work. Don't keep it at work. Keep it at home, because if it's at your desk, they can take it and keep it.
What about your work computer? Should you keep your log on your work computer?
Absolutely not, because the work computer, as we've talked about before, is actually owned by your employer. Not only can they require it to come back to them, but they can also have access to all the stuff you've kept on there, your thoughts, your notes, everything. So keep it in something that only you have. I like handwritten notes or on your own personal computer or other device.
Well, in fact, what could happen if you, like, say you had your email up at work and you started typing somebody about what a horrible boss you have, and you get up and leave the computer?
Well, first of all, your boss can have access to it anyway. Even if you send it, even from your own private email, they still have access to your computer. And the IT guys there, they can look at whatever you're sending or receiving, even if it's on your own personal email. So never do that. And never do it on a company phone either. If you're going to communicate things about your employer that you wouldn't want to communicate directly to your boss's face, use your own private phone or other device to do that. But, I mean, that's how to think about it in a civil context. And that's sometimes a little easier. And the context of that is it can be problematic, but doesn't cause you great harm. Now, in criminal cases, it's completely different. And this is what Eric deals with a lot, are how folks should respond in potential cases involving criminal investigation by police officers or any type of other investigation. Eric, what are some of the issues that come up?
Well, first and foremost, and people find it surprising, but don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to the police. If you believe that somebody is investigating you, rightly or wrongly, do not engage in conversation with them. Don't answer their questions. Be polite. If a law enforcement officer addresses you, be polite. Be cooperative physically if they ask you to sit down or whatever. Unless, you know, and you can ask, am I being detained? And if you're not being detained, then you can walk away. But if they do detain you and they sit you down and start asking you questions, or if they just come to your door and knock on your door and say, hey, we need to understand about what was going on with this particular situation, I recommend don't engage them. Tell them, in fact, use the language, I want to talk to my lawyer first. I'm not going to talk to you without talking to my lawyer. I will tell you, too, by the way, that I want you to practice that. If you're in trouble or you're being investigated, I want you to say, go look in a mirror and say, I want my lawyer.
Should they say something like, I want a lawyer, dog?
No, just I want a lawyer. And I say that, and I tell people that oftentimes in my office, because I make them practice it, because I've had a number of clients who, within days of me telling them to say, I want a lawyer, didn't say that and tried to talk to them. And people sometimes think that because they've always been able to talk their way out of trouble with mom or with the teacher, they think that they're so charming. And oftentimes they are. I have lots of clients that are very charming and very believable, but they just talk themselves into worse trouble.
Is there a problem or is it a violation of the law if you lie to the police?
Yes, that is a problem, especially, well, if anybody watches the news, especially lying to federal law enforcement. But, you know, really lying to anybody, any law enforcement agent is going to be a problem, whether it's against the law or not. If they can prove, and oftentimes they can, that you've been lying to them about one thing, that might make you look guilty of something that you're not really guilty of.
In fact, sometimes does it happen where somebody might lie for a friend? Oh, he was with me that entire time. We were doing this. Could they get in trouble for providing a false alibi or other information?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That'd be an obstruction of justice charge. But you know what? Even a bigger deal, I think, is that our memories are not video recorders the way we think they are. Our memories, every time you access a memory, it changes it a little bit because your brain fills in the parts that you don't remember. And so one of the reasons we don't like people talking to the police when they're being investigated is because you might not even intentionally lie. You could just tell the story the way your brain remembers it. But if something's a little bit off, then a law enforcement officer or a prosecutor might think, aha, he's lying, and then go, you know, gangbusters after you. That can look bad if you just get something wrong as a mistake, but it looks like a lie to somebody else.
Now, can law enforcement lie to you? If I'm a police officer and I come to talk to you, is there any law or violation of law if I lie to you?
I have watched many, many videotapes of law enforcement interrogating my clients, and I wouldn't say they do it on a regular basis, but they are allowed to. They are allowed to lie. And so we had a client one time where over about a 3.5 hour interrogation, the officer told the same 3 or 4 lies over and over and over again. They said, we have medical evidence that proves that you were there. We have DNA, we have fingerprints. Somebody has told a story that is consistent and makes you the bad guy. And over the 3.5 hours, our innocent client was worn down. And he eventually gave sort of a semi-confession, which meant that instead of not being charged, we had to go to trial to get him acquitted.
And in fact, that was a situation where he put himself at the scene, or he said, well, why would that evidence be there? And so he had to give an explanation. Well, I don't know. I mean, if they got the evidence, it might have come from this or that. He was just trying to explain it because he didn't understand how it could be there either. So he was basically coming up with a reason or excuse. Now, in reality, what we determined was that he was an innocent man. And the fact that he was there or anything like that, neither here nor there. By the way, there was no DNA, and there was no medical evidence, and there was no independent witness that put him there. They were completely fishing. And, well, Eric, we go to Project Innocence every year, don't we?
We do.
And, shockingly, are there innocent men who get sent to prison?
There are. And it is a long and painful process. We go to that every year. We buy 2 tables, and we invite a lot of public defender friends of ours to join us at the table. And every year we watch, and there's 1 or 2 more men or women who stand up and say, you know, I'm Daryl Burton, and I spent 27 years in prison before I was exonerated.
And sometimes it's things like DNA. Now, keep in mind, these are people who thought to themselves, I don't need a lawyer. I didn't do anything wrong. I'll go ahead and talk to the police. They're here to investigate me, but I'm innocent. And what they found out was sometimes that's just not enough. And we're not talking about just black people or white people, men or women. It happens to all races, all sexes. And a lot of times it's because they think, well, the police are here, but I didn't do anything. So I'll just go ahead and tell them, you know, these things. I'll just go ahead and answer their questions. The problem is in answering their questions, maybe they got things wrong, or maybe they're putting themselves at the scene of the crime where they had a legitimate reason to be there, but they didn't commit the crime.
So call me or some other attorney. If you got any inkling that somebody's investigating you, call Baldwin and Vernon or you know, any attorney. It's an important choice, and you're free to call any attorney. But you should call an attorney and sit down and talk to us, because we have confidentiality. As long as you don't tell us that you're fixing to go commit a crime, as long as we're talking about what has happened in the past, what you talk about with us is confidential, and we're not allowed to tell anybody, and we wouldn't tell anybody. And so we can go over your story and what happened and what evidence there might be. We can talk about things like what to say or not say. But it's very, very important that your lawyer and maybe your priest, not your doctor. Don't be telling your doctor or your counselor. Counselors are mandatory reporters. So if you have a counselor you're going to and you've been doing something that might not be appropriate, don't tell the counselor, because the counselor is a mandatory reporter. But you can tell your lawyer.
That's true. In some situations, we've had cases before where people have hired us, and Eric has gone with them to interviews with the police. Now, the police had already thought, well, this person must have done it. But Eric meets with the client beforehand, gets to talk to him, say, oh, well, this, that, the other thing. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, well, here. And then Eric will accompany them to the interview. And Eric lets them be interviewed by the police. But the difference is the police at that time will ask real questions. Anything that goes far afield, Eric can say, well, wait a minute, that's not what we're talking about here. And by the way, I will tell you, in almost all those cases, other people ended up being charged and not the people who came to see us. Because while our people might have been at a location or known the people or even known the people who did the crime, they did not participate. But you know how they say you're known by the company you keep? Sometimes that's true in the criminal realm. They'll think, well, you must be a criminal because you hang out with criminals.
Well, and sometimes we hire people who have made mistakes. I mean, it turns out that it's incredibly easy to commit a felony in the state of Missouri or in the United States of America. You know, people get addicted to their pain medicine when they have back surgery, and then it runs out and they have to start trying to find it. People do things, you know, they think it's a de minimis fringe benefit to take something from their retail employer, and then they get charged with shoplifting. I mean, people do stuff. And the thing about it is when you're facing the full brunt of the government coming after you and wanting to get some kind of retribution or penalty, calling me or another lawyer early, we will be able to help you limit your liability. We'll be able to help you maybe walk away scot-free, but more likely, you know, work out diversions or probations, the kind of things where it won't upend your entire life.
A lot of it comes down to damage control. Because in reality, if you did something, everyone has to be answerable for what they've done. But the difference is there are different ranges of punishment. Eric will talk to you about that in another podcast. But those ranges of punishment, if you're a first-time offender, you should not be facing the most harsh penalty that's out there. But some people just don't understand how the system works. And a lawyer is meant to do that, to help you through the system. That's why the Constitution actually guarantees you the right of counsel if you're facing criminal charges. It's one of the few actual guarantees that you have that the government will do something for you. They'll either provide you a lawyer or allow you to get one and pay for it yourself.
Right. A couple other quick things about the criminal investigations. You don't have a obligation to allow the police to search your house or even your car. If the officers say to you, we'd like to come in and search your house or we'd like to search your car, you're free to say, and you probably should say, no, thank you, officer. I'm in a hurry to get to where I'm going next or whatever. Just be polite. Don't, you know, tell the officer, I know my rights. That's never helpful. or you don't, do you know who my lawyer is?
Or you work for me. You're a public servant. You work for me. No need to escalate.
That's escalating. You don't need to escalate, and they don't need to escalate. But if you're polite and say, you know, officer, I'd just as soon not let you search my car. I want to get to my next stop and leave it at that.
Well, one of the things I always find amazing is the fact, back when I was a prosecutor, is the fact that people would always agree to allow a search, even if they had contraband. Eric, why do people do that? Why do people say, yeah, you can go ahead and search?
I never understand it. I don't know. They're scared, or they think. I think sometimes people didn't pay attention in civics class, and think maybe they're obliged to. So when the officer says, "Do you have anything on you that I ought to know about?" and the client pulls out his switchblade and his meth, you know, that was a bad idea.
And sometimes I think it comes down to, in some of the reports I've read, people think, "Well, he's asking if he can search. So if I say yes, the cop will believe that I don't have anything, so he won't bother to search." Well, that's not true, because once you've given them permission, they will search. However, I will ask you this, Eric. If you have given consent to search, can you stop it before they find any contraband or anything? Can you change your mind and say, you know what? I've changed my mind. I don't want you to search my car.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. If you change your mind, just communicate that to the officer. And if the officer continues to search even after you've withdrawn your consent, don't, you know, maybe object a little, but don't get physical or anything. Go ahead and cooperate. But that's the kind of thing that a lawyer can deal with later on.
And a lot of times they'll hand you a form where you waive your right to counsel in order to question you and everything. Should they sign that, or should they ask for a lawyer?
They should ask for a lawyer. I don't know. I don't care if you sign it or not. You know, if you acknowledge that you understand your rights and you want your lawyer, just make sure you say, I want my lawyer. If you say, especially if you're in custody, and they hand you that form, sign this form acknowledging your rights, as long as you say, I want my lawyer, then they have to stop.
One of the funny things I said earlier about was how you say it. Oh, I want a lawyer dog. There's actually a case that went to the United States Supreme Court where a young African-American gentleman said, I want a lawyer dog. Now, we all know that's like saying, I want a lawyer man or I want a lawyer sir. However, the Supreme Court, sometimes being what it is, a lot of old white people, what they believed was, well, no, he wanted a lawyer dog, a dog that's a lawyer. And so they said that the individual did not assert his right to counsel. So what Eric told you before is he's very serious about, if you want a lawyer, then you don't dress it up with anything else. What do you say, Eric?
I want my lawyer. Oh, and don't talk to, I said this earlier, but don't talk to anybody. When I say anybody, I mean don't talk to mom, don't talk to dad, don't talk to best friend or coworker. All those people, none of those people have the confidentiality requirement that I have as a lawyer. And if you, believe it or not, if you go and tell mom, oh yes, I shoplifted or whatever, and the police come and ask mom, mom can't say, I don't want to talk about it. Mom could be compelled by a court to testify.
Well, let me ask you this, Eric. If somebody's held in custody, let's say they haven't charged me yet, but I'm held in custody. So I pick up the phone and I'm talking to mom, and if I say something to mom about that, if I say, oh, mom, they caught me, can they use that against me?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And most jails, every jail that does this, will tell you as you're listening to it, this phone call is being recorded. And you get to where it's like the clicking the I agree box on Yahoo or Google or whatever, but it's true. They really are there. And I get recordings all the time of my clients talking to their friends and family. And usually it's just innocuous stuff, but every now and then, you know, the prosecutors do that because every now and then criminal defendants talking on the phone to somebody say something they shouldn't.
Sometimes they'll admit it, or sometimes they'll talk about, well, can you get witness X not to say this or say something different? And that's witness tampering.
Yeah.
Then you've just doubled down on bad activity.
That is. You know, one other thing, and this is sort of, it can be come up in a criminal context, but it also definitely comes up in the civil context. You either in the civil context where you're doing a little bit of investigating and preparing your case to go to a lawyer, or in the criminal context as things are happening, can you record somebody, like if you're having a conversation in the civil context, your boss is going to go over the performance improvement plan and tell you all the things you've done wrong?
Absolutely, you can. You can, in Missouri is called a first party state, and so is Kansas. That means that as long as one party knows it's being recorded, if Eric and I were sitting here and I know this is being recorded, but he didn't, that's perfectly legal. And I can use that as evidence in a case, or I can bring it. I can play it for other people because he is talking to me and I know it's recorded. However, if somebody else, if Wendy set a recorder under the table that we didn't know nothing about and we were talking and she kept that recording, but she is not part of our conversation, that is illegal because that's a second party. That's something, well, I say illegal, but in reality, law enforcement does it all the time. But you have to get a warrant to do that because then you're eavesdropping without them knowing that you were eavesdropping. So in those situations, as an employee, you can record those. In fact, I've had some cases where the way my client was treated as compared to other people became very important. So I had clients that kept their phone in their pocket, and then they turned on the recording or kept it on the table, just sat it there, and it recorded the interactions between them and their supervisors. And what you hear there is a supervisor saying things that later on in a deposition they deny saying.
Well, and not only that, but gosh, we tried a case last year where I wish we'd had a recording because the dispute between the employer and the employee that led to the firing was not so much about what was said as opposed to how it was said and who said what first. And you know, the jury ended up believing our client, because we had two independent witnesses, that the owner of the company was yelling and screaming and cursing at our client, and our client was just standing there taking it. But to hear the owner of the company tell it, It was completely reversed.
Oh, according to the owner of the company, our client came in, was screaming at him and shaking a finger in his face and doing all these crazy things. And, of course, the other supervisor who worked for the owner of the company, he agreed. He goes, oh, he was out of control. But the independent individuals, by the way, who were not friends of our client, who both worked there, and one went on to the military, and when he testified in his military uniform from his base overseas where he was getting ready to go into combat, and he gave a telephone deposition. A man like that's going to tell the truth. If he's going into combat, he wants to make sure he's on the right side of things. And so his testimony was very, very important. However, his testimony would not have been necessary had our client simply recorded the conversation.
Right. So if you think that conversation's fixing to happen, if you get the see me note, sticky note.
Oh, yeah, especially if you get the, we'd like you to come in and meet with HR and the supervisor. Wow. At that time, you want to make sure and record, number one. Number two is, if you believe you've been discriminated against or treated differently, you want to talk about it at that meeting. And we have a situation like that right now with one of our current cases where the client actually kind of got the feeling something was going to go wrong, went in and recorded the interview. And at that time stated, you know, I believe I've been discriminated against. I made that complaint and they agreed. Yeah, but, you know, even though that, we're still going to fire you because now that you've made that complaint against us, I can't work with you anymore. Well, that's just out and out retaliation. And they can't do that. That's a violation of the law.
And in the criminal context, you know, these days, most law enforcement agencies have dash cams. A lot of them even have the body cams. And those are to protect both you and the officer, because every now and then, you know, people make accusations about officers and they can go and review those. And in fact, I think most officers are happy to have those things now. But if you have any concern at all, it is legal to turn on your phone recorder and record what's going on. Now, don't be rude. Don't, you know, go and stick your camera in the officer's face and say, I'm recording this, officer, what's your badge number? You know, but unobtrusively, you can record what's going on. So you can also have a record in case there's a dispute.
Now, understand this. A lot of police officers actually don't know the law on this. They'll say, well, you don't have my permission to record me. If you're in a public space out in front of everybody, you don't need permission to record what's going on. Nobody does. A lot of times police want you to stop recording them, or they'll ask a third party who's sitting there watching and recording, turn off your phone, you don't have my permission. The answer is, I don't need permission. It's a First Amendment right. I have the right to do this, to record this interaction. You have a body cam, I have this. You know, hopefully they both will come up at the same time. Because there's been situations where the police will lose body cams. At the same time, though, I have seen videos shot by our clients, and I'm like going, you know, this isn't as helpful as you think it is. You were kind of an asshole, if I can say that on here. And in those situations, but I still have to give those over. If you've made that recording, and you have got to preserve evidence, and if they request that recording, I have to give it over at the same time. And I've had that. We tried a case last year where our client simply did not come off well in many of the recordings. She came off as defensive, aggressive, and sometimes the managers came off as being very nice and very very appeasing to her. But at the same time, she is the one who is ratcheting up the situations, and that can be a problem too.
And finally, I want to say, you know, thinking like a lawyer, and we talk about preserving evidence, and for heaven's sakes, don't destroy evidence, even in criminal investigations, maybe especially in criminal investigations. You know, when we're standing in front of juries, the lawyers and the clients, the most important thing we have is our integrity. Is the jury going to believe us? Mm-hmm. And if a jury hears that we've been out destroying evidence or not preserving evidence, you know, we knew we were going to be in a lawsuit, but we went ahead and let our client destroy all our emails or whatever. Then we'll lose credibility. You'll lose credibility. And it can be very damaging for a lawsuit, whether it's a civil lawsuit or a criminal lawsuit.
The most common thing that people think is that lawyers are paid to lie. We're not paid to lie. We're paid to explain things or to make other people explain things. I don't know any lawyer that would actually lie in court in front of a judge or jury. I'm Kevin Baldwin.
I'm Eric Vernon.
And we are Baldwin and Vernon.